And for us as God's people, the amen of our hearts and lives are lived out as that good news, the gospel, is expressed. Babe of Bethlehem. And here we are already now at the Epiphany of our Lord in the account of these magi, these sages from the West. We typically think of the three kings. We don't know how many there are. Don't know how many there were in their entourage. But they come. And they come to look for this babe of Bethlehem, this child of Bethlehem, whose star, or that a star, the Lord God's light, had been leading them onward. And here we come to the account in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Let's jump right in right away. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Matthew is very straightforward about this, isn't he? This is what happened. And these travelers from the east, they came to Jerusalem. They traveled west following that star, and they came to Jerusalem to find out where the child was. Now, if Isaiah gives voice to the fulfillment of the epiphany of the Lord Jesus, that's what Isaiah was proclaiming by the word of the Lord. The fulfillment of God's purpose and plan will be coming through this one Messiah, Jesus of Bethlehem. Then Paul, for us, as you heard Dane read, unfolds the mystery of it all. This great mystery that at just the right time, God would choose to send his one and only Son into the world. God incarnate in the flesh to live among us and bear our sinfulness while himself being sinless. Mystery of how this all works out, that a father would lay down his own Son for the forgiveness of people like you and me, and raise him from the dead to give a new life to this message of his salvation in you and me. Marvelous mystery. Wow. How can we not but give thanks and be joyful in the Lord? Matthew, then, the gospel writer, as we're moving through the word today, proclaims the significance of this unique and special observance called Epiphany. So let's unpack that for us this morning from the Apostle Matthew in these simple few phrases. Epiphany is significant because one cannot rejoice in the nativity of our Savior, to bend the knee at the stable, the manger, to share with the shepherds the joy of what they heard expressed to the angels, that one had come and would find him in Bethlehem. One can't rejoice in the nativity of our Savior without epiphany. Revelation. Isn't that what the shepherds experienced in the fields that night? The revelation of God in the angel who said to them, go to Bethlehem and you'll see this child lying in a manger. And all of the angels joined then in singing, praising God in the glory in the highest for his salvation. And one cannot understand epiphany, that is the revelation of God, without the nativity. So whether it's shepherds in the field having been revealed the truth, or now these magi who are seeking for the promised one of Isaiah that Paul talked about at just the right time, now searching for this one coming to Jerusalem, being led by the epiphany, the light, the revelation of God, bringing them to know Jesus. So Matthew begins that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem and in Judea, Matthew lays out for us, the Spirit brings us into the truth that God's epiphany, his revelation for our salvation, is among us, upon us. It's Jesus. There's no other escape from that. No other God has ever done that for humankind except this one who is now made known in the flesh in Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, God in flesh incarnate. And all of this took place, the Spirit reveals through Matthew, during the time of King Herod. In that particular moment in history, for the purposes of God's revelation of his salvation. And right away, as Matthew introduces, as we're brought into this account of Jesus' epiphany, right away we come face to face then with why Jesus came. Oh, there's this man named Herod. And he's a king. And he's jealous. And he's evil. And he has nothing to want to do with the kingdom of God, but only for his own kingdom's sake. We come face to face with the enemy right away of this babe of Bethlehem. And the enemy in Matthew's account may be given a name, Herod. But really, when we hear this account, what we find is we're really staring into the face of ourselves. We're that enemy. Herod was the one at that particular point in time. But Herod is plagued with the same thing that I am, and I'm plagued with the same thing that Herod is, and that is sin. And my selfish, sinful, consumeristic attitudes, where I want to build my own kingdom for my own sake and do what I want, is what Herod epitomizes in the epiphany of Jesus Christ. So right away, there's this tension for us, isn't there? What is God going to do? What is he going to do with his enemies? Whoever they might be and whatever their name might be. How is he going to interact with his enemies? And we're told that magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So Jesus, God incarnate in the manger, here's this enemy Herod, and now these magi who are coming to Jerusalem. If Herod gives us opportunity to stare in the face of my enemy, which is myself, then the magi give us pause to stare into the depths of our souls, a longing to know who is this one that the Lord God would reveal and bring to light, who he would epiphany. Who is this one whom I long to worship with all of my being, and in fact, give of my gifts, like these magi, of all of my life, all that I have? Who is this one? We have that longing to know. Into the depths of my soul, we peer. Isn't this God's Son? And isn't this Jesus? And isn't this the one promised from long ago to be our Savior? For out of you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, though you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, the prophet proclaimed a long time ago that you, Bethlehem, you, the house of bread, there the Son of God would be born as the bread of life for people and humanity. And the revelation, the epiphany of God's salvation would be known in him who would give himself for you. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This is Jesus. A ruler as a babe. A shepherd as God incarnate. This is Jesus who is our Savior. For the Lord's great salvation reveal, the Lord God's great salvation revelation or theophany, that is God making something known, is here and upon us. And we search like the Magi do every single day for this one, because it's who we are as God's people. As who we are as in our humanity. We have a longing to know the saving God. And so we're searching. And we can be like Herod, and we can set up our own little kingdoms and say, this is where I belong, and I want to be the ruler of this kingdom. But we've been forgiven of that attitude, for the Savior has come to exercise his dominion over that which separates us from the Lord God. His dominion over myself. And to bring me away from the kingdom that I would seek to establish, which is temporary and has no eternal purpose, into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, where there is hope and life and salvation, where there is a life with him unto eternity. This ruler, who is Jesus, will exercise willingly that dominion over my enemy, over me, as he gives us of himself in the sacrifice of his blood for our forgiveness, for our salvation. He will breathe his dominion, his rule into us in his new life, that we might live as his people to celebrate the nativity and the revelation of God's salvation. And this one will also lead as a shepherd. A shepherd knows his sheep, Jesus would say. He knows them by name. He calls them by name. He brings them in and he brings them out. He cares for them. And in fact, Jesus would even say a shepherd will lay his life down for the sheep, right? This is Jesus. This is your Epiphany King who looks into the depths of your soul and mine and in his graciousness calls us forth as his sons and daughters, fellow brothers and sisters, inheritors of the kingdom, and gives us that new life that is defined by him who loves us. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them and until it stopped at the place where the child was. And the Magi are led forward by this star of Epiphany, of Revelation. Brothers and sisters, we have that opportunity as well. As we encounter our enemy and see its defeat in the ruler of Jesus Christ. As we look into the depths of our soul and understand this is even where Jesus wants to live and dwell. For he loves us and he makes his home in our hearts. That star for the Magi led them forward to the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Overjoyed. How many times do we hear throughout the scripture that joy, rejoice, rejoicing, overjoyed, as we hear here, is part of the expression of our life in the Lord, right? Over and over and over again. There's one word we never hear from the scriptures, from God's heart to ours, and that is the word happiness. Happiness does not define us as God's people. What defines us is joy. For joy is not dependent on the circumstances in which I live. Joy is dependent on his grace, having called me into his kingdom. So, as the Lord God and his plan of redemption has come and been revealed to me, along with the Magi, my life is an expression of joy. It's not an expression of happiness. Because you and I know all too well, happiness comes and goes. I would imagine that on that long ride back home for the Magi, there were days that they were not happy. Sandstorms, thirst, hunger, all those things. But what kept them going was joy. The joy of the Lord in meeting Jesus and knowing him. Because the Lord has brought me to recognize and know him. This is my King, Savior, Ruler. This is Jesus. And they saw the child, these Magi. They bowed down, they worshiped him. When they came to the house, they did all these things. And they opened their treasures and presented him with their gifts. With their gifts. As the Lord God has taken charge of your life and mine, and as we live in the epiphany of his salvation, this is Jesus now staring me in the face. Not my enemy, not me, but Jesus. Because he's come to crucify my sinful, selfish, consumeristic nature that only wants what's best for me. That is no longer a part of us. We wrestle with it, but it no longer is a part of us. It doesn't control us. It doesn't dominate us. It moves then, that is his grace and goodness, what he's done for me, moves me to offer him all that I am. A living sacrifice. This is my spiritual act of worship unto the Lord. So, our life lived each day, our expression on Sunday mornings in worship isn't about me. It's about the Lord God and what he's doing in my life, what he has done, and what he's promised to do. All that we have and enjoy and are about as his people is about that revelation, his epiphany of my Savior Jesus. So, Lord, here I am, all of me. Take it. Belongs to you anyway. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Those Magi worshiped the Lord, gave of themselves, heard him, and obeyed. Jesus, who directs even to the depths of my soul, my being unto everlasting life, because he knows me and I know him. So this is the Jesus that I follow. To hear his voice as a shepherd, to walk in his ways as my ruler, to know his grace as God's son, my king, the babe of Bethlehem for me. And so the Epiphany season unfolds before us with this great revelation that the Magi discovered there as they were led by this star to know and see Jesus. Typically for us on Epiphany, also, Epiphany is a celebration that allows us Gentiles, that is, we who are not part of the Old Testament covenant, to know that we have a place in this gift of salvation in Jesus. For the Magi were not of Israelite Old Testament covenant promises. They were foreigners. And we join with them then in this celebration that salvation is for all people, me and you, and all those who don't yet know Jesus, that they might know the gift of God's one and only Son. Come and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day of Epiphany and the joy and celebration of giving thanks to you and recognizing your work, of recognizing how you would give your one and only Son for us, that we would be claimed as your people in the joy of salvation that you've won for us through him. May our lives reflect, like the Magi, O Lord, all that we are as your people, following you, obeying, listening, giving of ourselves, knowing that we are saved and free from all that has plagued us in the past, for we belong to you. To you be the praise and the honor, Father, as you hear these prayers and lead us and guide us in Jesus, our Savior. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Friends, may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the revealed one, the epiphany of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives in you. Amen. Let's sing, as with gladness, men of old.